I'm Spider-Man. Nobody knows who you are.
This episode, Timmy Doom reviews Spider-Man Has a Secret from Marvel Comics, 1985.
Welcome to Doom. This is your host, Timmy Doom. Today I am joined by guest host,
Xanty Spire.
What's up, Xanty?
Hey, not thanks, much.
Thanks for joining me again, man. Today we're going to review this comic book here from Marvel Comics, released in the mid-80s. Dang, I should have looked at the year at least. Damn. actually, it was an Amazing Spider-Man. It is... That, you know, they don't have the real cover to this. It's called Spider-Man Has a Secret. I don't have the actual cover. And it's from, a Molestation comic book. That had him and Power Pack together. And now I'm thinking about it, I should have looked up the top five songs on Child Molestation, but it's too... Maybe I come up with something.
Songs of Child Molestation.
Yeah, or Child Abuse. We're number five, Luca... by Suzanne Vega. What you think of that song?
What was the song?
Luca, you ever heard that?
I probably did, but I'm not good with names of groups and stuff like that. Okay. I mean, usually whenever I hear your show, you're talking about the music and stuff.
Uh-huh.
I used to write it down and then check it up on YouTube later.
Next time I start playing the song, because I was like, man, I don't play the songs because I think that people have already heard of them or whatever. Yeah, but I'm gonna start
songs. I just can't remember them. I mean, I'm bad with band names and title and names of songs.
Then I'm gonna start playing clips from songs because I used to do that on my old Zoom show. Now I start doing it again, and I can't think of any other songs on Child. But as the show goes along, I'm sure I think of some other ones. I just throw them in as I think of them. But Luca is our that's a theme song for the day, because that's the only one. Oh, number four, Janie's Got a Gun by Aerosmith. That's a song that they played too damn much on the radio. That song is not even that good.
I loved it when it first came out, but that song I remember it used to play over and over again.
And on MTV they used to play. I was tired of that damn video. You know what I mean? I couldn't. Maybe I did like it when it first came out, but I hate it now because they played it enough times for my whole lifetime. Okay, that's one song. I like Aerosmith, but I don't like Janie's Got a Gun. Played it too much. As I said, the other songs on Child Abuse, if I think of them as we go along, I'll throw them in the show. And Child Molestation. Let's see here. Okay, Spider-Man. Spidey Has a Secret. Okay, this opens up with Peter Parker. I guess there's another one. Oh, man, I don't get this at the beginning. He says he's swinging through the city, and like all his other comics, you know how he is always trying to get money by. He has his problems. I got to get money. I got to take pictures, get these photos sold. And he says, Joe Robertson, the Daily Bugle's new editor-in-chief, better like my latest batch of photos. I thought it was Robbie Robertson. Who the hell is Joe Robertson? Well,
I think there was another guy for a while, but I'm not entirely sure. I can't really remember the storyline from that.
But if there's another guy, they shouldn't have named him the name similar to the black guy. You know what I'm saying? That's bad.
That's his name, isn't it? Joe Robertson. They just call him Robbie.
Okay. Okay, your name is Joe, but I'm going to just call you Robbie for short. What the hell? Okay. Oh, probably because his last name is Robertson, so they call him Robbie. Okay, I think I get
it. They probably have a whole bunch of Joes there, so you know.
Okay, so we'll call you Robbie. But, speaking of Robbie Robertson, his portrayal in the movie Spider-Man by Bill Nunn is not a good one. I like Bill Nunn, but that's a bad choice for Robbie Robertson. That's all I got to say.
I don't even remember his character.
See, that exactly. That's what I mean. It should have been more memorable than that. Now, the perfect Robbie Robertson would have been Robert Guillaume, a.k.a. Benson, when he was a little younger, probably. But, okay, That's
my Oh, yeah, that would have been good. But the thing is, Benson, Robert Guillon, I mean, he's like, he would have shadowed out everyone else.
Well, you know, his part wouldn't have been that big because he was playing Robert Robertson, and they ain't going to let him get too much spotlight. But, yeah, that's true. He's a better. Well, that guy who plays J. Jonah Jameson in the movies is pretty good. I forgot his name. But he's a good actor. I think D.B. Sweeney or something like that.
Don't know.
The only problem is that hair doesn't look. It looks real fake, you know. But you know, good performance. Okay.
Yeah, I sort of wish they gave him the Hitler mustache, though.
He does. He never. You know, I didn't even look at it. He does have a small mustache in the movie.
Small mustache, but not the Hitler mustache.
That would have been the Jews in the audience would have been traumatized.
Yeah, but that's how JJ's supposed to look, unlike, you know. He's like, I never understood it, but I always thought, you know, it's part of his character. He got the little Hitler mustache.
Okay, I always thought he had the same mustache. Next time I look at the movie, you know, or one of those movies, I just like to pay attention to that and look at it. Yeah, because he does have a Hitler mustache in the comic book. But, what was I going to say about. You know what? Coming to think of it, I haven't seen any of those Spider-Man movies. Like a second time, I don't think. And, I mean, like this part one and part two, and I don't have a desire either. Like I saw one playing on the TV, TNT or something like that, part two, and it would look so boring. And the part where the Doc Ock was coming alive on a surgery table, and I was like, ugh. And I turned it off. I don't know, man. Part three was okay because I liked the fight scenes in it. But did you enjoy any of those?
They're okay. It's just I barely remember seeing them. I mean, I saw them real quick. Like I saw three. I think I only saw parts of it. The other two I saw them real quick. It's like I didn't really pay that close attention. See, part of my problem is
Attention deficit disorder.
The what?
Attention deficit disorder.
No. It's more like, okay, they're going to come out with a special edition, special director's collection edition and all that with deleted scenes and all that. And it's sort of like, you know, if I watch it now, then, you know, I have to watch it again later. So both times I see, for both Spider-Man movies, the first two, it's like, you know, I saw them, but like I saw them in bits and pieces. Like when they show up on HBO or something like that. Instead of, you know, sitting down and watching the whole thing. Because I just figured once the final cut comes out, that's what I'll do.
Wait a minute, you going to wait till when? Then to see what? Our first one came out 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Hurt me. Oh my God. A train could fall on, you know, the bomb could, like, you know, it could be an apocalyptic future, you know, a nuclear war could happen, and then you would never have seen a Spider-Man movie. Like, we'll be living like Road Warrior. They won't have any movies anymore. People will be using the DVDs for fire, you know, to burn, you know, for fuel to burn their home, burn fire and shit so they keep warm.
What are you talking about? I live in New York City. If there's a nuclear war, I'm gone.
Good point. Okay.
There's some sort of Mad Max kind of thing and stuff like that. I figure I'll just do like Gilligan, like hook up my like exercise bike to the VCR and the TV and stuff, and just, you know, exercise my way and watch it.
Okay, and so that's what happened if there's a nuclear war. But if there's Armageddon and God comes back to kick all the sinners, L.A. is going to be the first place to go where I live. So, okay. Oh, getting back. Damn, we ain't even start the story yet. Okay, so this is Peter Parker. He's hustling. This story is written by Jim Scalicrup. I recognize his name, so this is a usual kind of Spider-Man story. At first, he comes into his apartment. He's like, you know, developing his photos. He's got a Spider-Man gear on, and he can hear commotion from the next apartment. That's how paper thin his walls is in New York. Now, see, this is more like a real New York apartment, unlike the ones in Friends, where everything's like mad space, like a 6-bedroom apartment with, you know, people can afford. No, that apartment would cost $10,000 a month. This is a real New York apartment. He can hear people in the apartment next door, and he sees this kid is yelling, "Leave me alone, please. I don't want to do anything like that." And we can hear that it's this little boy. I don't know. It's Tony, little Tony, and his babysitter. And she's saying, "What happened here tonight is our secret. You better not tell anybody or I'll hurt you and get you into trouble." And the kid is crying and said, "Okay." And Spider-Man, incensed by this and not thinking, puts on his mask
and goes. Wait. But see, I have a problem here with, like, the third panel.
Okay.
Because I'm looking at the girl, and she looks sort of cute.
Yeah, I agree.
And then a couple pages later, yeah, she's hot. And how old is this kid?
I would guess around 10, because he's sitting on her back playing cowboy.
Yeah, oh, okay, so he's 10. I mean, I was
maybe nine. Well, let me see.
How old were you when you started getting interested in girls?
Let me think. Yeah, around that age, actually, because the girl was my age. But yeah, actually, girls older than my age, I wanted to. But I did remember, though, I was like 10, and an older girl did try to kiss me in the back of a garage. She was trying to kiss me, and I didn't want to be kissed. So, maybe at this age, you're not ready for sex. You're not ready to do anything like that.
I don't know. See, I was sort of different. I was hoping for stuff like this.
I was like a couple of years after that. I was, but then it didn't happen after that. But most. That's why you don't hear these stories. Like in this case, this boy is about to get molested or sexually attacked by his female babysitter. I've heard stories of that, but the guy wasn't. It wasn't called molestation. It was called the boy just fucked his older babysitter. Yeah. Okay, all the guys I knew.
Hispanic, come on, he's Hispanic.
Yeah, he gonna be all up in that. By that time, he's probably got a mustache. if he's Hispanic or black, he's like 10 years old. He's got 2 girlfriends and, you know, a gun, which he does have later on in the story. You'll see in the next page. But there's a couple of cases though I heard where my friend attacked by the babysitter was like chasing them, the older babysitter, but they didn't want to have sex with her because she's like 300 pounds. So that's the rare case where I hear.
Rare case? Come on, she's 300 pounds. No. They're scared, especially if she gets on top.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's the rare case where a boy wouldn't have sex with his babysitter at that age. Even though I did hear, okay, there was a story on Sally Jesse Raphael like in the 80s when I was watching it. And this boy, I don't know the details, but the boy, he was like 17 or something. And the babysitter was like suing him for the right to see his child because she got him pregnant when he was 11. He was 11, she was 16. And I mean, he got her pregnant. But he didn't, he's just saying that he didn't want to have sex then, or that he was a kid, he didn't know any better, and he got her pregnant, and now she wanted him, I don't know if she wanted him to raise a kid, she wanted him to raise her or see his kid, and he didn't want to have nothing to do with her, and the audience was kind of on her side, and it was like, this bitch molested, at some point, you know, a girl can take advantage of a guy if he's 11 years old, you know, that's why I could kind of understand the story, but this girl is hot. That babysitter in Sally Jesse Raphael, she was not hot. She was fucked up. Okay, I just had to throw that in there. Okay, Spider-Man jumps in. I heard enough. He jumps into next. He jumps out of his window and comes into the next apartment's window and knocks on it and says, "Tony, open up. It's your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. Stop." Okay, first of all, Tony would be like, "How do you know my name? How did you know that, you know, I was getting molested and all this stuff?" If they think about it later on, they're going to be like, "How does Spider-Man know all this unless he's my next door neighbor and he can hear me?" Peter Parker is Spider-Man.
No, see, look, this is, okay, say it's this, their world, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they, all they know is Spider-Man flies through the air, fights a bunch of criminals, and he always wins, right?
Mm-hmm.
They don't know what other powers he has. Maybe he has super hearing, mental, whatever. But the thing is, to him, you know, he's like a god, a superhero, whatever, right? So Spider-Man can do anything. Spider-Man can pick up the building in his eyes.
That's true, so, but...
And plus, the only thing Spider-Man's doing right now is knocking on there. He knows his name, and he just wants to come in and visit. Now, here's the weird thing. I don't care what the babysitter did. Some masked vigilante is knocking on the window. You call the cops.
Wait a minute. Who? Oh, yeah, you're talking about the babysitter herself?
She's the babysitter, yes. She's supposed to be babysitting him, not like, oh, somebody at the window for you. Go ahead, I'll go outside watch TV.
She knew she was doing wrong, and she's a kid. And usually when kids know they do wrong, they just book. They don't care, they don't care about the content. They're like, wait a minute, I could have done this or that. But right now she knows she just raped it, or she tried to rape a little boy. Even though in this story it should have been a male babysitter and a female child, but okay, she just booked the hell out of here. So Spider-Man is like, I hope you don't mind me dropping in. And she said, I think, he says, you crazy? You're my hero. You're the greatest. And that's true, because Spider-Man, in my opinion, is the greatest superhero in comic books. He's the most best written, the best, the most likable, the most heroic, the most... This is the best superhero right here, Spider-Man. Okay, forget Superman.
I don't know about that.
What are you talking about?
No. See, I like Spider-Man, but the thing is, I try to think about it like in real world, like categories and stuff. Okay. It's like after a while, don't you think people would start loving Spider-Man? It will go like, yeah, New York City, home of Spider-Man, and you know he's still being chased. It's like freaking the Daily Bugle would have gone out of business because all they ever say is, you know, Spider-Man's a criminal and stuff like that. Even though they keep showing evidence of Spider-Man helping, saving people, all that stuff.
That's true. There is a, because all the other superheroes are friends with Spider-Man. They're not against him, and he works with them all the time. So, yeah, that.
Yeah, I mean, if you can see Captain America go, you know, it's like, you know, yeah, Spider-Man, he's a great guy.
But hold up, but there's the media influence of the Daily Bugle is strong, you know, media, because they got the mic. Spider-Man don't got the mic. Daily Bugle is a newspaper who's always out there, and people saying, okay, he is. J. General Jameson says he's bad, so he's probably bad. That probably got him brainwashed for a long time, Daily Bugle, you know, and that's why they kept buying it. And then to on top of that, Spider-Man himself is helping the newspaper by providing them pictures, you know, of himself, you know, fighting crime and all this stuff. So he's aiding the enemy. He's aiding J. Jonah Jameson.
Yeah, but he always shows some pictures of him helping.
That's not true. But you know, he turns it around. You know, he always turns it around. Oh, he is helping these criminals, not fighting them. You know, so that's Spider-Man's fault partially. And
it's because it's like, I think the story was an orphanage, right? It for some reason, I think it was a Hulk or somebody's fighting caused it to start falling apart. And Spider-Man happened to be around, and he was holding up part of the building while the orphans got out. And like firefighters were also helping get the orphans get out and all that. It's like, what? And there was a film crew nearby, I think.
Okay.
Don't you think, you know, after you see something like that, you say, you know, Spider-Man, maybe he's not that bad. And then after all, everything else he does, it's like, oh, he saved that old lady from getting hit by a car. Oh, he stopped this crime over here. He did this. He did that. It's like, oh, they check. Do you get, you probably get the police blotter over there, right?
Every time.
Like, the activities of police officers in the newspaper, that kind of stuff.
That's true. But yeah, cops themselves, yeah, that's true.
How many of those things you'd probably say, crime, like bank robbery foiled by Spider-Man, so-and-so officers on hand, stuff like that. It's like after reading that constantly, I mean, come on, Daily Bugle, they'll look at Daily Bugle and they'll start realizing, no, Daily Bugle just keeps lying about this guy.
And it seemed like there would have been an alternate newspaper or to be like, you know what? Let's get the man on the street, the people who were saved by Spider-Man to do some interviews with us and stuff like that and see how great he was to counteract that, but there never was. And plus, the cops kept shooting at Spider-Man, or not shooting him, but always telling him to stop. You under arrest.
No, the only time they ever go after him is whenever the Daily Bugle puts out a reward for him. And when the Daily Bugle starts accusing him of committing crimes. And then the police officers, see, it always does this. It's like for a little while, the Daily Bugle's claiming that Spider-Man's a criminal, and then something will happen, and all the police officers all suddenly, it's like, go ahead, Spider-Man, you're okay with us. It's like, what? It's like, what? These people got to be, you know, I mean, police officers gossip. I know. I work with them. They gossip like crazy all the time. They're just like regular people. They gossip. They tell each other stories and stuff like that. So if, like, you know, somebody helped somebody out, somebody helped the police officer in something like that, the police officers know.
All right. So, all right. Well, in the comic books in the recent years, there haven't been. He hasn't been the enemy of the people. Only J. Jonah Jameson who need to let it go, you know.
Yeah, because they've been realizing this, but the thing is, I mean, seriously, I sort of figure, you know how Batman TV show was?
Yeah, with Adam West?
Yeah, like, you know, like Batman was like a deputy. Something happens, they call in Batman.
Yeah.
I sort of figure after a while, it'll be something like that with Spider-Man or something.
That's true, but even though he don't work like that, he don't put a big spider light in the sky. You know,
yeah, but see, that's the thing that sort of bothers me about a lot of superheroes. It's like, after a while, I would figure the police would call him in and tell him, look, we appreciate your help and all that, but some of the stuff you do is against the law. We like what you do. Now, basically, the best thing we could do is give you two options. Either you have to cut this out, or come join us. You want to do this? You like doing this kind of stuff? Work with us. We'll put you on the force. You could keep your secret identity, except for maybe the commissioner or something like that. But hey, you'll get paid. You get paid holidays and everything.
Well, that's what the Civil War was about, and most people who read comics don't want their superheroes to be working for the cops. That's why they had that Civil War in the comic books. The writers wrote it like that because most people would say, okay, that'd be the realistic thing to do. But what the comic readers want is somebody who the cop don't work for the cops. People don't like cops. You know, people who read comics, people don't like the authority. So they want somebody who fights for good, but don't work with the authority and have to clock in day by day. Plus, people would be bothered if, you know, they had superpowers and they had to come into work every day and people would be on their case. Oh, could you help me do this? Could you help me do that? On your private time, and the commissioner would know your identity, and he had that over your head or something, you know. So that's why superhero comics don't work good as without having a secret identity. Because, you know, one of my co-hosts, T-Mafia, for some reason, he's against anybody knowing your secret identity, even like in the Avengers. The Avengers should know each other's secret identity, which is, that's dumb. I agree that they should know each other's identity.
But see, certain heroes right out there, people know their identities, and stuff doesn't happen, you know, like somebody in the family gets killed all the time.
But that's true. But speaking of families knowing each other, when Mary Jane knew Spider-Man, or she does know that Spider-Man is Peter Parker, if they ever got divorced, you know, if a superhero gets divorced and their wife and their spouse knows, they can hold that over their fucking head. Like, we had a bad divorce, you was a bad husband or whatever. You know what? I'm about to blow your spot up.
But they weren't like that. See, Mary Jane isn't the type like that, to hold something, destroy his life like that. After all, remember, he has to take care of Aunt May. So if he suspected, you know, any villains going after Spider-Man, I mean, after Peter, then she will also take into consideration about Aunt May. She loves Aunt May.
Okay, all right. But I'm saying, in divorce, would you care? You'd just be like, ugh, fuck it. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. In real life, in comics, this is a fantasy character, Mary Jane.
Yeah, in real life, you know, they would they would definitely expose each other. But in the case of Peter and Mary Jane, I wouldn't see, you know, if they got divorced, they wouldn't try to hurt each other like that.
That's true. That's true. And I
don't know. I'm trying to think of some characters who, if they got married, I could see them breaking up, like, you know.
I would say the Wasp and Ant-Man, but they're both superheroes, so they wouldn't do that.
Everybody knows their identity.
That's true. And so everybody knows the other married couple, Fantastic Four, everybody knows their identity too. So yeah, there's nobody who, wait a minute, what about Animal Man, his wife? You think she'd do that?
No. Can you read it?
I had some Animal Man when she was a bitch, but I don't know if something possessed her, but she was like a bitch. She was smoking and he was like being animalistic, right? He was peeing in from the front yard because he was acting like an animal, and she was like cursing him out, and she was saying, "Our friends, you animal, you know." Actually, this everybody already knew he was Animal Man, so
yeah,
I guess
everyone
so I forgot about that. So you know what? There are no superheroes who have secret identities, and only their wife knows, except for Spider-Man. You know, he's the only one.
See, because I can imagine anyone who marries like Iron Man is going to try to expose him later on.
Yeah, that's why he wouldn't never get married. Tony Stark is too smart for that, you know. And even if he did, well, now everybody knows he's Iron Man, so it don't matter.
Yeah, I figure in a couple of years they'll probably instead of him getting married, having kids, they're just going to pop up with some teenage kid going, "Yeah, I happen to be your son." There you go.
Yo, yeah. Iron Man Jr. Okay, so.
Think about it. He's very careless. Remember, he used to drink a lot.
Yeah, and if Bruce Wayne, he's got a kid that, you know, that he didn't know about. So if he's got a kid responsible as he is, then Tony, you know, Tony Stark got a bunch of them. He got like 6 or 7 kids around the world. So, okay, let me get back to this story. Spider-Man is like, the babysitter books out of there when Spider-Man comes in the window, and the boy is like, he said, "What's up, Tony? Tell me, who is that girl, and what was she doing here?" And he said, "That's my babysitter, and my mom and dad are at a party across town, so I got a babysitter." And he's like, "I know something happened here. Why Junie ran away, so tell me what happened." And he was telling her about how Judy, now check this out, he's talking about, you know, that's his babysitter, and he likes her, he used to like her, and they used to watch TV and play games, and it has a picture of him riding on her back, and he said, "Hi, old Judy away," like she's a horse, but he's got a gun in his hand that looks like a real gun. That's all I gotta say, that gun looks real. Okay.
Yeah, this is before those laws came into effect.
No, that gun looks too real.
No, this is
it should be a blue. It should be yellow. It shouldn't be a black.
No, where was this?
Xanthi's Fire, can you hear me? Apparently, ladies and gentlemen, we've lost connection with Xanthi's Fire. This is a good time for a break while I look at the technical issues and reestablish connection. We'll be right back with Zoom.
Boon, big baboon, big baboon, big baboon, big baboon.
Spider-Man, Spider-Man, friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. Is he strong? Listen, bud, he's got radioactive blood. Hey there, there goes the Spider-Man. Spider-Man, Spider-Man, does whatever a spider can. Shooby-Doo, rock steady crew, find him an octoped on. With flair, there goes the Spider-Man.
In the heat of night, at the scene of a crime, with the speed of light, he arrives just in time.
Well, no red-blooded boy or girl would miss this Saturday's appearance of Spider-Man down at the local county fair, unless, of course, they're at home with their collections.
Spider-Man's master plan, build his own little spider clan. In the woods, now they're troops, fighting for special interest groups. Look out, wherever there's a bang-up, you'll find a great big hang-up. You'll find the Spider-Man.
My spider
senses tingling. It sure is. In such films as Spidey Goes Speed Racing, Spidey Hawaii, Spidey's Girl, Spidey My Pal, Spidey the Underwater Adventure Seeker, Spidey the Fun Licker, Spidey a Drink for All Ages.
When's the last you heard...
No, I was hearing you. You couldn't hear me. I was trying to stop you because I'm still, like, disgusted with Spider-Man. See, the Spider-Man didn't interfere. Say he was still, like, fighting Dr. Octopus or something?
Yeah.
Maybe Tony here would have found out how to be a man.
Wait a minute. If it's a kid saying, I don't want it.
You don't know. He's nervous.
Some kids aren't ready. They say it. They say, you know, something.
It's his first time. Look at the girl.
Wait, and you know what? I think, like, when he's 20, 22, or, you know, even 18, he might be thinking about that later on. Like, that damn Spider-Man, I hate him.
Exactly.
And he'd probably become one of the supervillains against Spider-Man just because of what Spider-Man did to him. I could have got laid at 10 years old, but no, this motherfucker, just because he got molested when he was a fucking kid by a man, now I can't get no pussy. Alright, but
exactly. Probably this becomes one of his fantasies, and he writes into, like, Penthouse Letters or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like, when I was a child, I wish I screwed my babysitter. Unfortunately, Spider-Man swung in through my window.
So, alright, cool. And then, alright, so they go back. Spider-Man tells them, the kid is saying that he's scared. He thinks that he did something wrong. And Spider-Man tells him no. Tells him the story of when he was a kid, how he used to get pushed around by bullies and shit. And he didn't have any friends. He was always hanging out at the library. And a guy, a young Magneto, walks up to him. He said, and makes friends with him, but he calls himself, instead of calling himself Magnus, like his real name, he says, my name is Stephen Westcott, but you can call me Skip, okay? And that's scary right there, because this guy got white hair, he's got a youngish face, I don't know what age this guy is, he's got white hair, but yet he looks like he could be 20 or something.
Yeah, he's probably a teenager or something.
With white hair.
I mean, they say he lives home.
Yeah.
I don't understand what the white hair is supposed to be about.
I mean, I know there are some people with freakish white hair like that at a young age, but come on. He called, this is some weird shit. He's like, he goes to the library, goes up to Peter Parker, who's by himself. Haven't I seen you around here before? That's a line that you use to pick up women at a bar. And he says, which way do you live? I never walk Einstein home before. Like, there's something creepy about that. So they're hanging out together, and he walks Peter Parker home every day or whatever after school, because, you know, Peter Parker doesn't have friends, so he befriends this guy Skip, who's in his 20s or 30s, it's unclear. And Aunt May says to her friend, she says, I used to worry that Peter didn't have any friends until that nice Westcott boy came along. He seemed like such a fine young man. Okay, what woman is going to let her son or the man, boy that she's raising hang out with a man who's a grown-ass man? Okay, he's 12.
Remember, this is supposed to be, well, I don't know, the 70s, 60s?
It don't matter. You don't let your, what guy is hanging out with little boys?
Look, this guy is cool. He even shows him some nudie magazines, right? He's cool until all of a sudden he starts trying, you know, worm his way into Peter's pants. The rest of the time, this guy, seriously, he seems like an incredibly cool guy.
Well, child molester's got to be cool.
Yeah.
But Peter Parker, when he shows him the girly magazines, it looks like Peter is not down with it.
Yeah, which is something else I don't understand.
Yeah, that's weird. Seriously,
when I was 6 years old, I used to sneak into my uncle's room to look at whatever nudie magazines he had in there.
Hold up, six?
Six.
You didn't even reach the puberty yet.
No. Well, actually, no. Younger than that, because, I was in kindergarten going in there.
What the
looking at stuff.
Okay, that's... okay.
Yeah, seriously, I took pride in learning new words.
New words? Oh, okay. Like, what kind of new words?
Well, you know, like cunt, hair, hairy pussy, you know, stuff like that. It's like, I was so glad. It's like, seriously, the most incredible thing to me was when I learned the word pussy. It's like, pussy. Yes, yes!
Okay, this is the opposite character here. Peter Parker, who's all-American, clean-cut boy. He doesn't like these girly magazines.
See, again, this is making him uncomfortable. He's experiencing new stuff.
That's true.
But see, he doesn't know what's going on because he had his nose in his books all the time. He's been avoiding, like, you know, actual life.
And maybe like an older man showing you this stuff would make you uncomfortable because this guy, you know, I don't know what age this guy is. He lives with his mom. I'm just disturbed by the white hair. This is Magneto. But he says the younger boy was shocked by what he saw in his magazine. And then Skip, come on, Einstein. Let's conduct a little experiment of our own. Let's see.
See, this is where Kingsley takes it too far. I mean, Magneto.
Come on. Okay. Okay, just because, first of all, Kingsley, my other host, he's not gay. He says he's not gay, that he prayed about it on it, and that, you know.
Yeah, look, I'm praying that I'm a rabbit. Okay.
All right, and then the other thing is.
Am I a rabbit?
Even if he was gay, that don't make you a child molester. Skip is a whole different level of gay. Okay, he's a gay child molester, which is, you know, that's reprehensible to be a child molester.
And look, I didn't mean to say Kingsley. I meant to say Magnus.
Oh, okay. And he says, come on, let's conduct an experiment of our own. That's gross. And then he says, let's see if we could touch each other like the people in the magazine. And then, but now, see, they could have got Spider-Man out of this. Because he says, please, Skip, don't. I got to go now. But no, at the end of the little caption in the panel, it says, but the young boy was too frightened to leave. So that means that Peter Parker, Spider-Man, was molested as a young boy by a guy. And, like, somebody who, there's a letters page at the end of this on the internet where we're reading this. There's a letters page at the end of this article that says, now I gotta look back at all of the Spider-Man stories that I reread and every decision he make, you know, every bad guy he's fought, his costumes, his marriage to Mary Jane, all that I gotta look at as a result of this child molestation as a kid, every decision Peter Parker ever made as a result of this, him being molested as a kid. Okay.
Oh man, I didn't even think about that till just now. It's like, yeah. It's like, why would he do something like that? Oh, because he was molested.
Which, that's unfair, but this is a retcon. But, okay, so he says days later, his aunt, uncle noticed that he wasn't spending any time with Skip, and they questioned him about it. After hesitation, he somehow found the courage to tell them what happened. So he told Aunt May he was a bad mother. Let him even hang out with. Did they mess Aunt May up? Okay, she shouldn't be letting him hang out with a boy, a man with white hair. Okay, but she did. She let him hang out with him, and now he got molested. But I wonder what happened to Skip. He didn't say what happened to Skip.
Yeah, exactly. I'm bothered by that because I sort of figured Ben will, like, you know, get his baseball bat, yep, or something.
That's probably what. Oh, Ben beat his ass. They let us figure it out because they don't want, like, nothing to happen, Skip, to this. Okay. Uncle Ben probably killed his ass. and Skip was never seen again. But they should have, since this is in regular Marvel continuity, look for that issue where Spider-Man comes back and finds Skip and beat that motherfucker down.
Yeah, Skip, the gay molester.
And then, and that weirded me out too, because he had girly magazines, but yet he wanted a young boy.
Well, like you say, he's a pedophiliac. He's, you know, something to bring him in, and then he'll do his business.
Yeah, that's effed up. And then he says, back to present day, Spider-Man is telling little Tony, he says, he did the right thing to tell somebody, and when something you can't handle by yourself happens, you got to tell an adult. And I know, Tony, because that young boy was me. So, and, you know, Tony is all... Then he says, can you tell your parents what happened to you? And he says, yeah, they're some fancy party. And they left the phone number. Oh, they left the address. Now, see, they left the address, but they didn't leave the phone number. They just left the address by the phone. So Spider-Man takes him out the window and swings him across town to the party and then walks up to the party or comes up to the window of the party on the 18th floor holding a boy in his arms. And his parents are like, the Spider-Man, he's got our little Tony.
And yeah, but see, here's the funny thing about the party. For some reason, I'm looking at how some of these people are dressed.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, is this a swingers party?
Oh, yeah, let me take a look. Hold. Yeah,
I thought it was a business party. Yeah, it's casual. You know, you got your turtleneck, you got your chest showing and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, it's kind of, well, you come to think of it, it could be because everybody's around the same age. I don't know, dog. Come on, why you gotta make this nasty? This is a regular party. This is a party. It's a party, man.
And they're probably doing some coke in the back or something. No, wait. What's that first panel on the 8th page? Is that coke lined up?
Let me see.
On the table? No, not
coke. No, that would have to be dick ass lines of coke. Okay, that's the hors d'oeuvres. Okay, goddamn. And then there's a lot of black people at this party and Latino people. So it was
the racial swingers.
Okay, and then there's some white people too. But he said, and his dad is like, I demand an explanation. What is the meaning of this? And the mother's like, are you all right, little Tony? And he says, yeah, I'm okay. Thanks to Spidey. And then he said later in the privacy of another room, which I'm glad they said that. Because at least the little boy tells the story of his parents of what happened.
Yeah, but you know there are going to be some people there listening on the door.
That's true.
Come on. Spider-Man comes into your party with one of the visitors' kids and stuff like that. It's like you want to know what's going on. You want to call up the Bugle and tell him what's going on with Spider-Man at my party.
That could be true, but that would be another good story for Spider-Man. Once the parents come out, Spider-Man saved my kid. You know, from being molested, and I don't know how he knew that my kids were being molested unless he lived next door to him, and therefore that's Peter Parker. But anyway, my point is, he's like, you would think that, okay, in this story, yeah, Spider-Man did the right thing, and he brought the boy to his parents, but didn't he just endanger that kid by, like, swinging him across, like, New York City, 18 floors up? 18 stories up in the sky, he's swinging with a little kid in his hands.
Yeah, especially because Spider-Man has all these enemies who at any moment can attack him.
Shoot, the Hobgoblin blasts him, and the little kid falls out of his hand. Okay, no, this could have been done differently.
Yeah, especially if this was a regular comic book, that's probably what would have happened.
But instead the parents, everything turned out fine. The parents are like, how could I ever thank you, Spider-Man? And he's like, you already have. And then he swings away, and he says, you know, I never admitted to myself before, but I've always been ashamed of my past, and I've always blamed myself for what happened until tonight. You know, now he knows that it wasn't even his fault what happened to him with Skip, even though you would have thought that Aunt May would have told him that, but I guess he always blamed himself until he saw little Tony, and he knows that, you know, now so little Tony helped him. Like he helped little Tony.
Yeah, but see, there's a panel missing. Because there should be a panel with the father saying, okay, so Tony, you ever been to a swingers party? You're a bit young, but we'll teach you as we go along.
He just got through telling his dad that he was traumatized by his one little babysitter who was closer to his age, let alone a bunch of adults in their 30s and 40s.
His mom and father are going to be there.
Mommy and daddy help you do this, son.
Yes, exactly.
Oh my god, that's sick.
Hey, I didn't write this.
Wait a minute, they didn't write that either. You added that in. All right.
Oh, sure, I did. It's there. It's right between the lines. Look, it's the swinger party. They brought their little kid to the swingers party. There you go.
Why can't the blacks and Latinos go to a party that isn't swingers party or drug party? Why can't they just have like a regular swank party? Upwardly mobile This is probably like one of those business, you know, small business meetings with minorities, like a minority business meeting or something. How you know it's not one of the? Oh man,
because this is the 70s. I'm assuming this was written in the 70s.
No, this is the 80s, man. It's like 85.
Oh, 80s. Okay, the 80s. Pack. They still had swingers parties.
Okay, no, I don't know about that. But anyway, okay, that's been I want to thank Xanti's Fire. That's been Spider-Man Has a Secret. Okay.
Wait. Before we finish, right? See, now that you brought up power packs, I'm so depressed about them.
What's wrong with power pack?
Because when they first came out, I was the same age as the kid, as Alex, the oldest one.
Uh-huh.
And like now I'm like 37, and they're still like, you know, kids. Or what's the other one? The Losers or whatever. Where Julie's a teenager.
Uh huh.
It's like it's depressing.
Yeah, that's true. That's true because. And I always went, when is going to let that boy grow up from Power Pack? Franklin's still a little baby. And then Animal Man's son, his age changes from 15 to 10. So it's like this kid was 10 years old 20 years ago.
See, I really wish they would age him. I mean, seriously.
At least a little bit. They did it with Dick Grayson, you know.
Dick Grayson? Oh, yeah. But no, I mean like Spider-Man, he should already have kids or mutated spiders going around, stuff like that.
But he is that age, but they just decided him and Mary Jane wasn't going to have kids. I mean, who wants kids? You know what I'm saying? Just cause
they wanted kids. They tried a couple of times, remember?
Well, actually, they did have a kid, I heard, but I didn't read the story. But then they said they had a baby, but the baby got kidnapped or something, and now they never mentioned it again in the storyline.
I don't know. I stopped reading Spider-Man after the Clone Saga.
Damn.
Just got too much.
That was like more than 12 years ago.
Man, the Clone Saga sucked.
It was that bad. See, I never read it. I don't even know what it was. Was that just the thing with Ben Reilly?
Yeah, with Ben Reilly, with a whole bunch of stuff. It's like, I can't even remember. Yeah. It's like, but see, it started off good.
Okay.
Then it started getting stupid because they started doing the twisted ending kind of thing.
Okay.
It's like, oh no, Ben Reilly's not the clone.
Mm-hmm.
Peter Parker's the clone.
I remember that.
Now, Peter Parker, now he can't be Spider-Man anymore. He can live his life with Mary Jane. Ben Reilly will be Spider-Man. A whole bunch of stuff like
that. Yeah, yeah. Oh, people hated that. Oh, God. They hated that, but then they switched it back around.
It's like Ben Reilly and Spider-Man are both clone. Kane's the real Peter Parker. I'm not even sure how the story was going.
Yeah, but people, yeah, to this day, if you go on these message boards, that is what people talk about, how bad that was, and that was the worst thing they ever read in comics and all that. So, yeah, Clone Wars. Read it today. You know, I wonder if they ever collected that in some kind of trade.
Yeah.
But they did.
Clone Saga, I think.
They should be ashamed. So, alright, so good. That ends this episode. This Xanti's Fire, thanks for joining me. If you have any comments on this episode, go to comic book. Zoomcast.blogspot.com. Until next time, peace.